Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are strapping in for a journey that makes space travel look like a weekend commute.
That's a good way to put it.
We're traveling 4 billion years into the past using documents written not in, you know, digital code or dusty scrolls, but in solid rock.
Yeah, and our subject is Keith Thompson's really influential work, Fossils, Keys to Life's Deep History.
And this deep dive is, I think, about fundamentally shifting our perspective.
Mm.
For a lot of us, fossils are museum pieces, static, you know, cool-looking objects.
Right, but Thompson argues they are anything but static. They are the essential direct record of every major event, every great experiment, and, well, every colossal failure in the history of life.
Exactly. And we're not just here to marvel at dinosaurs, although we absolutely will.
Of course.
Our mission is to understand why a curious learner, sitting here today, should devote time to ancient bones.
And the lessons they teach about, say, rapid climate shifts, the fragility of ecosystems, I mean, the immense timescale of evolution, that's the most crucial context we have for tackling the biodiversity and climate crises happening right now.
It's like the past is giving us the manual for the present.
It really is. So before we dive into that deep history, maybe we should look at the historian writing the script.
Let's do it. Who is Keith Thompson?
Well, he's a serious figure in the world of evolutionary biology and paleontology. We're talking about a distinguished British-American scientist who has held professor roles at Yale and Oxford.
Okay, so top tier.
Top tier. And importantly, he was the former director of the Yale Peabody Museum of Natural History.
Ah, so that's a career spent not just studying the literature, but getting his hands on the actual physical evidence.
Exactly. And what makes his work so distinctive is that his research focused specifically on those massive moments of transformation, the evolutionary bottlenecks.
So not just the status quo, but the points of major change.
Right. Think about it. He wasn't just interested in a fish. He was interested in the coelacanth, a living fossil, and the fundamental question of how vertebrates transition from swimming creatures into walking terrestrial creatures.
That water-to-land shift is one of the biggest leaps life ever took.
It's huge, and, you know, it requires a specific kind of intellectual muscle to wrestle with those big transitions.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson excels because he operates perfectly at that intersection.
He takes his rigorous academic understanding and, what, translates it for us. For the curious general reader.
Precisely. He's not just listing facts. He's explaining the forensic detective work, how we know what we know, and why that profound 4 billion year narrative should matter in our, you know, 200-year modern existence.
Okay, so that brings us to the book itself. What's the core idea?
The central thesis of fossils is startlingly clear. Fossils are the only direct physical evidence we have of the history of life on Earth.
The only direct evidence.
The only.
Yeah.
Everything else, genetics, comparative anatomy, that provides inference. Fossils provide confirmation. They are the eyewitnesses to evolutionary processes that would otherwise be entirely, well, theoretical.
That's an irreplaceable document, then. So the core question the book addresses is how these fragmented pieces of stone illuminate that grand narrative.
Mm-hmm. How do they show us the mechanisms of extinction, of adaptation, of change? Thompson basically takes the reader from viewing a fossil as just a static curiosity to understanding it as a dynamic chapter in an ongoing epic.
And the scope of it is what impressed me. He manages to cover the incredibly improbable mechanics of fossilization, which we'll get into, all the way through to these sophisticated interpretations of deep time.
And you don't need to be a geologist to follow, but by the end, you've grasped the foundational concepts that underpin all of modern biology.
What I appreciate is that he uses the fossil record not just as history, but as a lens to examine these broader philosophical questions about, like, continuity and contingency. Is life marching inevitably toward us, or is it just a series of high-stakes accidents?
Yeah.
So let's start at the very beginning with the most basic question. What exactly qualifies as a fossil?
It's a great place to start. And Thompson defines it broadly, which is really important. It's any preserved trace of past life.
Right. We often default to petrified bones, but the record is so much richer.
So much richer. He highlights trace fossils, which are traces of behavior fossilized burrows, trails, or even coprolites.
Which is fossilized waste, right?
That's the one. And then you have chemical fossils, which are molecular signatures left by long dead organisms, sometimes dating back billions of years before complex bodies even evolved.
But here's the crucial point he drives home. The sheer improbability of a fossil ever forming at all. This gets us to taphonomy, the science of preservation.
Yeah, Thompson calls fossilization an unlikely miracle.
An unlikely miracle. I like that.
Think about all the destructive forces at play. An organism has to escape scavengers, bacterial decay, physical disintegration, chemical breakdown.
Everything is trying to erase it.
Everything. Mm. So to become a fossil, an organism usually has to die in the right spot, like a quiet body of water, and then be sealed off and buried rapidly. I mean, if it's exposed for even a few days, it's gone.
And if you consider the trillions upon trillions of organisms that have lived and died on this planet, and how few of them ever managed that miraculous burial, it makes every single fossil a cosmic lottery winner.
It does. And that realization is vital because it means the fossil record is inherently biased and incomplete. We are seeing a tiny, precious fraction of what actually lived.
And once we accept the rarity of the evidence, the next challenge is figuring out when that rare event occurred.
Right. That brings us to how we establish the immense timescale of Earth.
It all starts with observation and common sense, really, thanks to people like Nicholas Steno back in the 17th century. He laid the groundwork for stratigraphy with a simple but profound idea.
That in undisturbed rock layers, the oldest ones are on the bottom.
Seems obvious now, but it was revolutionary then.
Totally. But that only provided the relative timescale. The real game changer was William Strada Smith in the 18th century.
Strada Smith. Good nickname.
Great nickname. He was a canal surveyor in England who realized that specific rock layers contained unique fossil assemblages.
Meaning a layer in one part of the country would have the same unique set of fossils as a layer somewhere else.
Exactly. Even if the rocks looked different, the fossils told you they were formed at the same time. This discovery allowed scientists to correlate geological layers across continents and, for the first time, build the entire consistent geological timescale.
So the Cambrian, Jurassic, Cretaceous periods, they figured all that out without knowing the exact numerical date.
They did. It was a huge conceptual leap, but it only told us A is older than B, the true numerical age, the millions and billions of years. That came much later with radiometric dating.
And this is where the physics kicks in.
Mm-hmm. Radiometric dating measures the predictable regular decay of radioactive isotopes found mostly in igneous rocks. And the key concept is the half-life. It's like this ticking geological clock that never resets,
allowing us to assign precise numerical ages in millions of years and confirming the staggering antiquity of the Earth, 4.6 billion years old.
So by combining Steno's stratigraphy, the relative age, with the absolute dating from radioactive decay, we get the robust, comprehensible timeline that is the bedrock of modern paleontology.
And once you have that timeline, the evidence for evolution comes into absolutely sharp focus.
Right. The fossil record is the most direct evidence because it showcases a consistent, ordered sequence of life forms appearing and changing over time.
And the most compelling parts of this story are the transitional fossils. Now, Thompson stresses that we have to ditch this outdated idea of them being simple missing links.
Yeah, that term is so misleading. Instead, they are mosaics organisms that exhibit a genuine blend of ancestral features and new features found in their descendants. They literally embody the process of change.
The classic example is the bird-dinosaur connection. Archaeopteryx. I mean, when it was unearthed, it must have felt like a joke. It had undeniable feathers and a wishbone, clearly bird traits.
Right.
But it also had teeth, claws on its wings, and a long, bony reptilian tail. It's a snapshot of a moment when that lineage was halfway through a massive transformation.
And the water-to-land transition is arguably even more epic. The example Thompson highlights is Tiktaalik, often nicknamed a fishapod.
A fishapod.
Imagine this creature. It lived in the water, had fins, gills, and fish scales. But if you look at its skeleton, its head was flattened like an amphibian's, it had a mobile neck, and its robust fin skeleton.
Yes.
It contained bones that correspond exactly to the humerus, ulna, and radius of our own forelimb.
No way. So it was a functional limb skeleton, built for pushing up in shallow water, but it was trapped inside a fin.
Exactly. It perfectly illustrates the stepping stones. The existing structure was repurposed and refined for the new environment.
But for new forms to rise, old forms have to fall. And the fossil record is just as powerful because it documents the brutal necessity of extinction.
And that fact itself was revolutionary. It took Georges Cuvier studying these huge, mysterious bones of mammoths to firmly establish that species can and do permanently vanish.
That discovery in the early 19th century shattered the idea of a fixed, static world.
It did. And then we get the concept of mass extinctions, those cataclysmic events, like the one 66 million years ago that wiped out the non-avian dinosaurs. But here is Thompson's brilliant insight.
What's that?
He frames extinction not as the opposite of biological success, but as a creative force.
That's counterintuitive, but powerful.
Isn't it? Catastrophic events, volcanic eruptions, asteroid impacts, they act as the ultimate ecological reset button. They clear out established dominant life forms, leaving vast amounts of empty ecological space.
And that space gets filled by the surviving organisms, which then undergo this rapid explosion of evolutionary experimentation.
The textbook case is the rise of mammals. They were small, insignificant, often nocturnal creatures during the long reign of the dinosaurs.
Hiding in the shadows.
Totally. Once the asteroid hit and the dinosaurs vanished, mammals rapidly diversified and took over the globe. Extinction is truly evolution's greatest driver for innovation.
Wow. The sheer scope of this history should change the way we view our own fleeting moment on Earth. Let's talk about those core takeaways that Thompson uses to ground all this immense data.
Okay. The first, and perhaps most humbling, is the concept of deep time. Grasping the scale that the fossil record represents immediately shrinks the entire human chronicle, from the pyramids to the present day, into what Thompson calls a mere final sentence in an epic novel.
That's a great line. It really encourages a necessary humility and forces us to look beyond the immediate anxieties of our lifetime.
It does. And theme two is that paleontology is a form of forensic detective work.
A historical science.
Right. And like any cold case, it relies on building a robust, compelling narrative from fragmented, often ambiguous evidence. There are no cameras. There are only subtle clues in the rock.
And this is the reflection for you, the learner. It models how to approach incomplete data. In life, business, or science, you rarely have the full picture. Paleontology shows us how to make the best, most coherent inference possible from the clues you do have.
And theme three is crucial. Evolution is contingent, not a ladder. The fossil record is full of branching paths and unpredictable accidents, like an asteroid striking at just the right time.
This challenges that common misconception that life is always marching inevitably toward higher or more complex forms, with humans at the top.
Yeah, that's just not how it works. The truth is much messier. Success is often as dependent on chance circumstance as it is on adaptation.
And finally, the unity of life.
When you trace our history back through Australopithecus, the earliest mammals, and those fishopods like Tiktaalik, it reinforces the profound idea that all life on Earth shows a single, unbroken chain of ancestry.
We literally carry the structures of ancient fish and reptiles within our bodies today.
Our own bodies are museums.
Thompson has such a gift for synthesizing these complex ideas into memorable phrases. His insights just, they stick with you because they're so clearly articulated.
I particularly like how he encapsulates the irreplaceable value of the evidence. He says something like, "Fossils are the only direct evidence we have of the history of life on Earth. They are history made stone."
History made stone. That's powerful. It reminds us that there is no substitute for the physical record.
And regarding the pattern of change, he challenges the traditional view of slow, constant change with the observation that the fossil record is a story of punctuated change.
Dominated by long periods of relative stability interrupted by rapid transitions and catastrophic events. I remember that.
Yeah. And that helps explain why we see those transitional forms sometimes appearing relatively quickly in the record, because evolution is often happening in bursts.
And his powerful redefinition of loss, which we mentioned earlier.
That extinction is not the opposite of evolution. It is evolution's most powerful tool for innovation and diversification.
That reframes every past catastrophe as the necessary precursor to the diversity we see today.
Exactly.
So the question that always follows a deep dive like this is, so what? How does studying rocks that are millions of years old help us right now?
Well, the connection to climate context is immediate and critical. The fossil record holds essential long-term data on how climate systems and ecosystems have responded to change over geological time.
The paleoclimatic records.
Right. Studying ancient flora and fauna, it helps climatologists calibrate their modern models and predict how our current human-caused warming might affect global biodiversity. The past is our laboratory.
And for conservation, the lessons are urgent. The record from past mass extinctions provides a grim guide.
It really does. It tells us exactly which traits make species vulnerable to rapid change. And more critically, it demonstrates that when major biodiversity is lost, the recovery phase takes millions of years.
Millions? That lends immense strategic weight and urgency to modern protection efforts. We are playing a long game.
A very long game. And beyond the science, there's that inevitable philosophical shift. Once you understand deep time, it compels a reflection on humanity's responsibility. It encourages us to adopt the mindset of intergenerational justice and long-term environmental stewardship.
Our actions today, which seem so small on a geological timeline, have vast and permanent consequences. You know, what stuck with me most was that idea of contingency, that the existence of humans was not inevitable. It was a happy accident riding on the back of a catastrophe. It changes the way you look at success. It's not always about being the fittest. Sometimes it's about being the luckiest survivor.
For me, the lasting insight is the dual perspective it offers. The
Ah.
immense humility that comes from grasping deep time, combined with the profound sense of connection to everything else that lives. Thompson shows that paleontological literacy isn't just a niche interest. It's essential for comprehending the reality of the crisis we face and the immense legacy we all share.
And that leaves us with a final provocative thought for you, the listener. Since the fossil record shows clearly that the full recovery of biodiversity after a major crisis requires millions of years, what practical long-term decisions in politics, business, or your own life should we be making right now that truly respect that vast timescale?
Something to ponder on your journey back to the present day.
Indeed.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.